T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's two things your stupid show talks about. One is
Howard Simon.
One is
Jeremy White.
Both suck.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, thanks for hanging out with us on this sunny Wednesday. We're going to talk a little football with Andrew in a moment. Did she bark in the break?
It has been a tense few minutes over here.
What, do you got a stare down going with her?
I put on Puppy Bowl and I paused it.
Ooh.
With the dog Brody on the screen, and
ooh,
she stared him down for 4 minutes because I paused it, and he hasn't moved yet. I took a picture of the stare down. If you want me to tweet it to you,
yeah, please.
I mean, this was a stare down.
I can't believe you're messing with Betty like that. You paused the picture. She doesn't know what pause means, unless she's a really smart.
Of course she does.
Oh, wow, that's.
You're welcome.
Woof. I mean, oh no, I didn't mean.
Yeah,
okay.
Woof.
No. Oh boy.
Okay,
I'm
texting you a picture of the stare down. tweeting it to you.
You got to tweet it.
So
yeah,
I
was going to say, I want to
stare
see
down.
Everybody
oh,
needs to
ready?
See
it. Hold on. Let me unpause and see what happens here. She walked back in the room after leaving. Here we go. We got Brody on the screen.
Here it is.
She enters.
Can't believe
she's turning back.
Oh, she's so
it's
cute.
All puppies now.
She's so cute. Look at her just
you got that stare down?
That is so cute.
Look at that thing.
Oh, you're
going to
get a whole bunch of likes.
Huh.
Poor
well,
dog.
Anyway.
I can't believe
she
you
doesn't
paused
want to perform.
The television. She's sitting there going, huh, dog's not moving. What is that? Wow, this dog is really patient staying still like that. That's incredibly impressive. Andrew's sitting there going, what are they talking about? Fortunately, Andrew knows us. So he's like, yeah, okay. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, former WGR on-air staffer, is going to join us. We're trying to get one of Jeremy's dogs to bark, Andrew.
There are multiple Jeremy dogs?
Three.
There are three of them, yeah.
See, Jeremy, we're at two right now. And once in a while, it's actually usually when my wife's had more than three drinks, there's a discussion about adding a third dog. But I don't think we want to play zone defense. I feel like three's hard, and it's hard to ask. It's hard to ask somebody to watch your dogs for like a weekend when the number moves up from two to three.
For sure. And when you ask somebody to do that, you know, using a kennel becomes less likely, and it becomes someone that house watches, which, you know, is, you know, it's not that bad to have somebody house watch. But, yeah, we have three, and she occasionally would talk about getting a fourth dog, and to which I had to point out that the city does not allow it. So
are you serious? No, you didn't make
I'm
that.
Serious. You cannot get a fourth dog without being a kennel.
Really? Okay.
I didn't
know that. Wow.
Yeah, trust me. The law was on my side when I was able to say we cannot get a fourth dog.
You were probably happy to use that
that's,
one. She would know the law.
We don't need another one.
And she knows the law, so she'd be able to challenge you on that. So, Andrew, how you doing, buddy? How you holding up?
We're pretty good down here. You know, the Steelers have actually been a little bit more active in free agency than we all expected, so they've given us news,
yeah,
which is a good thing. You know, I don't know if, you know, they've hit a home run with some of these signings that they've made, but at least they're trying to materially change their roster after last year's 8-8 season.
It's funny. Here, as you know, Andrew, a year ago we were talking about, what? They called about Antonio Brown, the Bills, the leaders in culture, and then a year later they trade for Stephon Diggs, which is really awesome. So it's funny how things work.
Yeah, you guys are going to hate me for this, but I actually don't like the Diggs trade.
Oh, don't. I'm in a bad enough mood, Andrew. Please.
Is this because you feel like you've been burned by receivers that want the ball?
No, well, there's a little bit of that, Jeremy, but it's like the most wide receiver rich draft, and they gave up four picks, including, you know, their first rounder, to get a wide receiver that has proven to be a really good 1B but we don't know what he's like when he's the number one guy by himself. The contract, I guess, is doable. I mean, it's not something that is ponderous or cumbersome or going to, like, weigh them down, but I don't know. I'm just really not sold yet on Stephon Diggs as a true number one wide receiver, and I'm also not, like, I think there are maybe not red flags. They might be, like, pink flags in terms of his personality and some of the things that he's done in the last year.
Well, it's okay, Andrew, because now the Bills have built a strong enough room and culture that they can overcome that stuff.
Yeah, Jeremy, you always were the guy that we have private conversations. You're like, they don't touch players like this. They're culture,
I know.
Character guys, team first.
Yeah, now they can handle it.
Dick.
Yeah.
Well, part of the conversation with regard to him is, you know, I just tend to think a lot of the stories about players like this end up he said, she said, and if it's ever a receiver, no one wants to hear the receiver's side of things. You know, like they are most definitely guilty until proven innocent. An offensive lineman could have a problem, and you're never going to hear the term diva for that. So I think that a lot of people can be misunderstood is not the right word. Like, I'm not there with Diggs when this all happens, but there was an actual example of him screaming at Cousins on the sideline, and then it comes to be that he's literally yelling at him, play your game, don't worry about getting me the ball. So, you know, on Fox, they say, wow, look at this argument between these two, and it's a message of support. So I'm just not worried about it, because the thing I'm going to keep going back to, Andrew, with this is if they don't get Diggs the ball, he doesn't have to complain about it because I will. You know, I'll be right next to him saying, why aren't you getting him the ball?
I don't know. I can imagine up there. I haven't heard you guys every day, but I'm guessing, like, with the Brady decision, that, you know, everybody's doing cartwheels and thinking that it's the Bills' division to lose in 2020. And I'm just not there yet. I want to be. I want to see you guys win. I know that it's been, what, now almost
1995
more than 20 years, right?
Yeah, 95
playoff win. Thank you. I hate to, like, do that to you guys.
Oh, playoff win? But, well, actually, that's the same year anyway. I think it was the last time they won the division, and I believe that is the last time they won a playoff game. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just not ready to just hand it over to them yet. I don't believe in the Jets at all. I think as long as Fitzpatrick is Miami's quarterback, you know what they're going to be. He's going to win them five games and absolutely lose them five games, and the other six are like a coin flip. But I always feel like Belichick's a step or two ahead, and I don't think he's tanking. I think he wants to catch Don Shula and go down as the all-time wins leader, so I have a hard time at 67 that he's just going to throw a season away and take, like, 3-13 with the off chance that there's a quarterback he really likes at the top of next year's draft. So I'm still very wary of New England. I think the odds makers still have them at, like, 9 wins, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Belichick ends the 2020 season as the coach of the year.
It would be hilarious if they decided to tank, actually. If the New England Patriots said, we're going to just start, you know, they trade Gilmore and they start moving these pieces out and stockpiling picks, and everybody goes, oh my lord, they're tanking. That would be absolutely funny, hilarious, lovely, delicious, tantalizing, all of the above. Hey, the Steelers are on the – so we got you on to talk about the Bills' opponents, the Steelers specifically. Let's start – you know that you addressed a moment where you mentioned about the ads. Who'd they lose? What are the key losses they've suffered so far this offseason?
Well, they lost a defensive tackle and nose tackle, Javon Hargrave, to Philly. And he signed, I think it wasn't an Aaron Donald deal. It wasn't like the player that went to Indianapolis in that 49ers trade for a first-round pick. But he had emerged as a very important player in their defense last year because one of their defensive ends, their highest paid defensive player, as a matter of fact, Stephon Tuitt, got hurt in the middle of last season. And Hargrave took on more than just like a run-stuffing first down role and was used as more of a pass rusher up the middle and had his best season and got paid for it. So they're replacing that. Now, they've got Tyson Alualu, who's a former first-round pick, who they'll slide in there, and they get to it back. So they lose a very talented player, Howard, but that's one of the few positions on defense where there's a lot of depth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like they lost somebody that is going to change the outlook of their season defensively.
Okay, what about offensively? Because there were a couple issues on the line, right?
Yeah, Foster retired. Ramon Foster was their left guard. He's 34. Kind of a workhorse, kind of warhorse player. Adequate to good, who was hurt a lot last year, had a concussion issue. I don't think that that's going to be much of a problem. The line was bad last year, and I think the whole thing we're trying to figure out here is how much of their line struggles, how much of their run game struggles, how much of their receivers having down years was related to not having Ben Roethlisberger, and worse, not having competent quarterbacks behind him.
Right.
They drafted Mason Rudolph 2 years ago out of Oklahoma State. They said they had a first-round grade on him. He didn't look like a first-round quarterback at all last year. So I know there was some discussion maybe in Buffalo 2 years ago, who's a better player, Josh Allen or Mason Rudolph? Well, now we know it's not even close between those two guys. Rudolph, I think, best-case scenario, is a competent backup quarterback. But when the Steelers needed to win a game, had a do-or-die game in New York against the Jets in Week 16, they elected to start an undrafted rookie quarterback, Duck Hodges, over Rudolph when he was healthy. So that, to me, tells me everything you need to know about Rudolph as a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When the Bills went in there and needed a win on to clinch a playoff spot, I'm not going to lie, Duck Hodges as the opposing quarterback made me feel much better about their chances.
Yeah. And it was still close.
Yeah, right, right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
I was going to ask about how's the receiver hierarchy there going forward? You know, James Washington, right, was a relatively high pick. Deontay Johnson, a promising young guy. So how are things for Pittsburgh's receiving core?
Not great. I still think that there's potential there, but I don't think.
I forgot Juju. I should mention Juju Smith-Schuster, of course, who I know you suggested they should trade.
Right, and because I don't think he'll be back here. I think he's a player that's a lot like Emmanuel Sanders or Mike Wallace, who are good wide receivers, but they have a certain price in mind, price tag in mind, and the Steelers just, I don't believe, will match it. And I think Juju, you know, his season was so bad. I don't think it was just quarterback related. There were a ton of drops. There were games, especially late in the year, that he just kind of checked out of, which is inexcusable. And he's young. You know, maybe some of that's maturity. He's only 23 years old. He's actually younger than James Washington and Deontay Johnson, who was a rookie last year. He's younger than those guys. But I don't think there's a great player there. I think you're dealing with wide receivers. You're asking the quarterback, the franchise quarterback, the guy making more than $30 million, which I think is a fair ask, to make them better. There's not someone who, in a vacuum or independent of everything else, is a very talented, very productive wide receiver. There's not a DeAndre Hopkins. There's not somebody that you think can make an average quarterback better. So that's an issue. You know, there's a talent drain here. There, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, they haven't really done a good job of replacing either one of those guys. And really, the team has shifted. 2 years ago, they were trying to score 30 points a game to beat people. Now most of the talent is on defense, and they're trying to hold teams under 17 points to win games.
You know, with Roethlisberger, Andrew, so, we saw Rivers had a rough year last year, and the Chargers moved on, and Eli retired. How much, what's left in the Roethlisberger tank?
Well, I'm praying that there's a lot left, but, that's why the rosary beads are next to the bed, though, because it's a prayer. Because he's 38. And he doesn't. There was actually a host in town. This is just goes to show you, boys, you know, where we've reached. You know, 3 weeks without sports, what's happening? There was actually another host who was casting a movie. He said, "Let's make a Pittsburgh sports movie. Let's cast all the major athletes with Hollywood actors," and said that Bradley Cooper would make a great Big Ben.
Hmm.
And I immediately texted him and asked him if he had, gone blind. I don't see that at all, Bradley Cooper. And Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, what's next? Are they going to cast Jason Momoa to play me in that movie? So, I'm keeping my fingers crossed with him. I mean, the Rivers thing is very scary because it's the same draft class, and he absolutely fell off a cliff last year, and Eli Manning's retired. And I've always thought that Big Ben's a better quarterback than both those guys. But Father Time's undefeated. I don't think Roethlisberger really keeps himself in shape. the same way that Drew Brees and Tom Brady do. So, yeah, there's a lot of concern. Some of these guys have come back from elbow injuries and have actually said that their elbows have felt better, and it has actually added years to their career. So that's what I'm trying to bank on. I'm trying to take that optimistic slant on things. But I still think they need an insurance policy behind them just in case. And Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph just aren't going to cut it.
The other thing
Who would play? Who would play Roethlisberger? My first thought is Robin Williams in Jumanji with the beard. But, I mean, he might not be the physical specimen.
Well, somebody said somebody. You know,
he's also passed away, but, you know, the character is
Well,
what
he wouldn't, stature wise, he wouldn't have, you know, met the.
Well, they've done this with guys like Stallone and Tom Cruise. They've made them look taller than they really are. So I wouldn't mind Kevin James. I think right now, based on
kind of look, that's good.
I think you put a beard on Kevin James, I think you might have a viable Ben Roethlisberger,
Dare I ask who should play you? Have you had that discussion yet on the air or suggestions?
Yeah, we have actually. You know, I'll let you guys look this guy up. I want to say – I want to – not Anson Carter. He played in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I want to say there's a guy, Nick Carter, who was in Backstreet Boys, Jeremy. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, or is Backstreet Boys' brother Nick Carter, Aaron Carter, something like that?
Look up Aaron Carter.
Nick Carter is in the Backstreet Boys. You might be thinking of Aaron Carter.
Yes, I'm telling you to look up Aaron Carter. And
yeah,
tell
okay.
me if you think he looks like me.
Hey, good call bypassing me and going to Jeremy on that one, because you knew I'd have no idea who you were talking about.
He has face tattoos. Do you have a face tattoo?
Not yet.
Okay.
There's time.
I mean, I don't know what else. Look, I mean, a lot could happen right now during this quarantine. I'm watching old games. I basically turned into Mike Schoch during this quarantine. I'm watching old games and playing Strat-O-Matic baseball.
There you go. That's all right. That's all right. Well, hey, I hope things are okay for you and all of yours and the family. So stay safe, Andrew,
too,
and thanks
Howard.
For coming on with us. Yeah,
you guys are the best. I still got a lot of family there and friends, so it's nice to be out with you whenever you guys want me.
Hey, we're here. You want to just call up? You're bored? You want to join us anytime, Andrew? You know the hotline number.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good
day.
All right, yep, Andrew Filippone. He is with 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, one of my favorite cities, hanging out with us on the Wester Hotline. Your dog picture is getting lots of likes, as I knew it would.
Yeah, up the stare down.
And I think a lot of people are really into your dog play-by-play. I know once you did pirate play-by-play, right? You did hockey play-by-play as a pirate.
Yeah.
But I believe this is going to top that in its popularity.
Well, I mean, at some point we've got to get a payoff. There might be a problem with the conditions, you know.
Oh.
How is Betty expected to work, hashtag, in these conditions? In the front room, the television is a lot lower. In this back room, we have it mounted kind of a little higher up on the wall, so she's maybe less feeling to attack it. But I took a video last night of a trial run where I, you know, just flipped it to Animal Planet. And sure enough, she walked right up to it and barked like she always does. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to leave it on all the time now for this week while I'm in here.
Yeah.
And she'll stroll and she'll perform.
Someone tweeted, took a look at your picture and tweeted, want to know what pennant is that on top of that? What is that, a bureau, a desk, whatever's in there? There's a pennant, it looks like, laying on it?
It's a Buffalo, New York. It's an Oxford pennant. It's a gift from my wife's family. This room is relatively new. It's why there's nothing on the walls. You know, we did a bunch of stuff in this room, so... if it looks a little barren, and someone commented that the pennant's not yet up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We haven't gotten around to finishing what we were going to do in here. So it'll eventually go up somewhere. But, yeah, that's did you call that a bookcase?
Bureau.
Bureau. Well, it's the Bureau of Alcohol. There's a bunch of whiskeys and bourbons.
That's why Betty's over there.
In that bureau, yeah.
So maybe Betty's looking at the alcohol and not the television above it.
Possible.
Maybe she wants a little nip at something. The you know, we're not that far removed from the game, from the old tweet out pictures of your man cave, and we'll see what Jeremy has down there. Can you do a panorama?
Of this room?
Of your man cave with all your memorabilia?
The memorabilia is all taken down because we redid this room. This room used to
this
have...
This is where everything was? The Cam
this
Atkinson
This is where the
jersey?
Mounted Cam Atkinson, my wife's high school basketball jersey was up in here.
Okay.
All of my Syracuse stuff. Yeah, it was a little sports lounge man cave, but now...
Right.
It's been stripped bare as we turn it into a little, I don't know, sun place to eat breakfast. That's what you might call it.
Will you be restoring your man cave stuff somewhere?
I don't know where. A lot of it's going to sit until we find a place for it, and I don't know when that is.
Hmm.
I know. It's a shame, that Atkinson jersey, you know?
Yeah, I thought it'd be kind of a fun game to take a picture of everything you got, and we can go on. I could look at the picture and talk about all the cool stuff you have. I could do that for my own basement with my Looney Tunes jigsaw puzzle that I have framed. Or we could play Who Plays You in the Movie. So we could do that someday, too. All right, 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. Hanging out just with you, talking. You can hang out and talk to us, too. Whatever's on your mind, you want to talk about sports, you want to talk about life, whatever you want to do, you need just to have a little interaction with somebody, hey, that's cool. Reminder, maybe you've done this already. If not, we have a new contest we've opened up this week. We'd love to get you involved. Ties into, you know, being at home and what you're doing to get through all this stuff. It's called What's Your Outlet? And all you need to do is tweet us at WGR550. Tweet us and use the hashtag What's Your Outlet? What we're looking for is you to describe for us how you're keeping busy, what's occupying your time, how you're keeping your sanity, maybe what's making you crazy, photos, stories, videos, whatever you want to send us. Tweet us, and we'll put you in the running for a gift certificate from Outlet Liquor. So tweet at WGR550. Again, use the hashtag What's Your Outlet. Friday morning, we'll select one winner, and that person gets a $25 gift certificate to Outlet Liquor. Our WGR Outlet Liquor Twitter contest is brought to you by New York's only Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm a little curious. I don't think Terrell Lewis of Alabama will be there, but a Curtis Weaver of Boise State, mm-hmm. a Julian Okwara of Notre Dame, all edge guys that I think would be really good value there. A Josh Uche of Michigan would be good value. Someone that may slip a little bit, super productive in college, a pretty low ceiling, but is going to be a good player, a Bradley and I of Utah, that's got really good pass rush skills.
That is Chris Landry from Landry Football was on with us recently talking about some pass rush options for the Bills without a first-round pick now. Scheduled their first selection now would be number 54 overall in round two. Thanks for hanging out with us on this lovely Wednesday. Sun is out and temps headed up as the week goes on. We'll get up into the 50s this weekend, so that'll be good. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. And one of the... Well, we're doing a lot of talk about the draft. That is still going on as scheduled. Here it is April 1st. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks out. And pass rush, edge rusher, even with what's happened here in the offseason, the signings could still be an area the Bills would like to address in the draft. Now, they don't have a pick in round one. I'm not sure if this guy will be there in round two, but one of the players that's getting a lot of play in terms of the edge rusher group is a guy that maybe you haven't seen play. And that is Curtis Weaver from Boise State. You've probably heard some draft experts that we've had on this show talk about him. I thought, all right, we need to find out a little bit more about this kid. So we're going to the Western Hotline, and Boise State play-by-play man Bob Beeler is joining us right now. Bob, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us, first of all.
You're welcome. And what, people in Buffalo don't stay up and watch a lot of games that begin at 10:15, 10:30 Eastern time?
Really? Oh, no. The Mountain West and the Pac-12 are a rumor to me, Bob. I'll make it to that 8 o'clock game, and by halftime, I'm probably beginning to fall asleep.
Well, we start at 10 most of the time, your time, because they usually have a game that kicks off at 8, and, you know, it's tough. And you know, our people would love to be able to play in those games that start at noon Eastern time, so you guys can see us, you know, very early in the day.
Hey, for a while now, Bob.
Doesn't usually happen.
I was going to say, it's been a long stretch here. Maybe it's not Gonzaga college basketball, but Boise State football has been entertaining and successful for a long time now.
It has, and I think that when you look at, you know, what Boise State has been able to do, started out as a junior college, and, you know, they've won championships in every league they've been in, and you know, they've been in three BCS games over the years. You know, they've won a lot of big, important non-conference games. It's a school that, you know, is a very much an up-and-coming school, and I think that, you know, when you look at what Coach Peterson did, and then now what Coach Harson's doing, but if you go all the way back, each coach, and I think this is maybe what has kind of set the program apart, each coach is really seemingly taking it, you know, almost better than the guy did before. So, and I think a lot of that credit goes to, you know, the people in town, the people in the state, the campus, because, you know, they have never had really a lull. You look at a lot of teams where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this coach leaves and the next coach goes like 4-8, and that's not happened here.
You know, I'm a little bit somewhat off target from where I was going, but while we have you, I was going to say I've never been to Idaho, and we all know about the blue turf. I mean, they're famous for the blue turf, but I know when we have talked to guys from the football team here, the UB team would have gone out there and played in a bowl game a few years ago, maybe San Diego State, and they were talking about had a great time, loved it, wonderful community. It was a very special week. Really people went out of their way to make sure they were welcomed out there, and everybody really loved the experience in Boise.
Yeah, it's great. So I'm sure that maybe some people can come out another time. Mac is, I think, still in the conference, so we're still in the bowl tie-in. So maybe you can hitch a ride with them next time.
Curtis Weaver, Bob, I got you on because the draft experts were getting on. Hey, you know, are mentioning him as a guy, you know, after you get past the Chase Youngs of the world and maybe get a little bit deeper into the edge rushers, his name has come up consistently. He put up great stats at Boise State, very good sack stats. What made him so successful when it comes to pass rush ability?
Well, he's got a very good motor, and he's a guy that I think studies really hard. I think he's a guy that has just gotten better ever since he's been here. He came in as a true freshman, and when he came on campus or when they recruited him, he was 300 pounds, and he now weighs 265. Wow. So he is a guy that I think has kind of transformed his body. I think he's a guy that, you know, has taken advantage of, you know, with some other guys on the team that are pretty good, where, you know, he gets one-on-one matchups and has done a nice job at coming in for, you know, and getting sacks. He's a playmaker. I think the biggest thing for him would be, you know, where are they going to use him? I mean, are they going to make him more of a defensive end? I don't know that he maybe is big enough for that, or is he going to be more of a situational pass rusher? I think, defensive end, outside linebacker. He didn't get into coverage a whole lot, did a little bit more as the time went along. And I think that, I think he's somebody that's going to be good. We've had a lot of good players at Boise State that have played in the NFL on defense. I don't know that he's going to be quite as good as, say, Leighton Vander Esch with the Cowboys. But, I think he'll be a good, solid NFL player, if Buffalo would take him. And when last year started, a lot of people thought maybe he'd be a one. But now I think a lot of people are thinking he might be a two. So Bills probably, what, drafted mid-late second round? Is that where they are?
54, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I would think, he could be gone by then, depending on, what somebody's looking for. But, if he's there at that point, I think you guys would be getting a good guy to, especially if you need somebody to rush the passer, because he's pretty good.
Bob, what do you think about, you're out there all the time, you see all the football there and in that conference. And I was thinking about when the Bills were looking for a quarterback, and we were talking about Josh Allen among the guys a couple years ago. We'd always get – one of the things that's quite honestly scared me about Josh Allen was when they stepped out of conference and he played a Power 5 team, his numbers were awful. Like, he had some really bad games. What do you think about the whole, this kid Weaver, he's good, but – what would he do if he was in a played against Power 5 competition, not non-Power 5 teams? And how does that make it any tougher to evaluate and project these guys in the pros?
Well, I think first of all, on the Allen thing, one of the Wyoming teams, the second year that he was the big-time starter, his last year, they weren't that good. They didn't have that much around him. The year before, they had a lot around. So I think sometimes, especially in a quarterback situation, it's difficult when your weapons around you aren't as good as, you know, what the other team has. So I think sometimes, you know, when you talk about playing in a Power Five thing, you would have other people around you that would probably be maybe a little bit better. So that might help you. I think good ones would be good at whatever level they're at for the most part. So I think, you know, maybe you kind of look at it, but when you look at the NFL, there's players that excel all over the places that, you know, if you pick the right kid, you know, kid D2 or D3 can make it in the NFL. So I wouldn't be as worried that, you know, that he hasn't played for a Power Five. I think that to me wouldn't be it. To me would be, you know, whether you think with whatever scheme you're having, if you think he's a fit with you, would be what I would be looking at more than I would be looking at what school somebody played at.
The other thing I wanted to bring up before we let you go was there's an offensive tackle too. Is it Cleveland? Is the guy's name?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Is he considered one of the better tackles?
Oh yeah, I think he. I mean, he's a guy that has, you know, had an unbelievable combine. He was hurt last year a lot for us, where he played but he didn't practice all much of the year. He came out early, like Weaver. Boise State's had a long run of players that have come out, you know, now Weaver redshirted, so he's been there 4 years. But Cleveland is very well thought of. I think Cleveland's going to be a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to get out of the first round.
All right.
So if you wanted him, I think you guys would have to trade up.
Yeah, no, right. Because it sounds like there are maybe four or five first-round offensive tackles, and it would seem like, you know, I'm not sure what's on the board at 54, and I wouldn't expect them to trade back into round one for a tackle at this point. So
probably not. And I think like anything in the draft, you know, it always seems like there's a run on certain positions that somebody will take somebody, and then somebody will trade in that wants that position, and then it'll go. But, you know, I would say, you know, as far as Weaver goes, works extremely hard. I think he's a very good team player. He was a good leader for us. So, you know, I think he'd be a solid player if the Bills got him in the second round. So, you know, hey, it'll be interesting if the draft's going on. He had 15 visits lined up, and I don't know whether Buffalo was one of the 15, but, you know, nobody's getting visits.
Right, so doing virtual.
I think this year, it's going to be a little bit different that if he was at the combine, but you know, if you didn't see somebody, you know, I would think the number of people that get picked that didn't go to the combine this year is going to be lower. I think, or later in the pick, because I think you might not want to take somebody you haven't met or haven't seen, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's the only thing basically that's going on as scheduled, right?
Right. Everything else we're waiting and watching or wondering. Hey, Bob, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know how old you guys are, but I remember when the draft was basically you just got the list the day. You know, I remember when I was in high school, the first time it was televised was, I think I was a junior in high school the first time it was televised. And I remember before that, you just look in the paper the next day and they'd list, you know,
right,
15 names or however many they had. So, you know, maybe that's how they're going to do the draft this year. You kind of just get the names.
Yeah, now look at it. Yeah, and you know, it had become a great idea. I would think about last year's draft in Nashville and the draft in Chicago and what they were I was looking forward to seeing like Roger Goodell on some water, you know, some floating draft table or something like that. You know?
Although, I could see it being a good visual thing out there where they were talking about doing it, but Nashville, they had so many people down that street watching, or Philadelphia when they did it at the Rocky Steps. I don't know how many people could have actually
on
been
the
there watching.
Yeah, right.
Based on the way they were talking, but I guess we'll never know, or they'll have to bring it back maybe next year.
Yeah, I think they're Vegas, I think, is going to try and get the 2022 draft at this point. So
they probably give it back to them.
Bob, thanks. I know it's early out there. Thanks for getting up and coming on with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Stay safe.
Thanks.
That is Bob Beeler, Boise State play-by-play man, joining us on our West Her Hotline. Somebody had the idea. It was Rich Eisen, actually. I was reading this in Peter King's column earlier this week, Jeremy, about the NFL draft. And, you know, Eisen suggested, if you really want to set, you know, the model and tell people how important it is to stay home, Roger Goodell announces the draft picks from his own house. And I thought, it's crazy. But I guess, you know, if you really do want to tell people it's important to stay home, then the NFL commissioner staying home to announce the draft picks, I guess, would make perfect sense. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment, and I have a song about your favorite baseball team that we're going to play when we get back. Yeah, I'll explain why when we get back.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
She bark yet, Jeremy?
Oh, they're outside.
Okay. So I got an email yesterday from MLB.com. You know, you buy something like through NHL Shop or MLB Shop, whatever, and all of a sudden you need to get email updates on everything from that league for the rest of your life. They sent me out an email to a link to a story that included learn one strange fact about every Major League Baseball team. Yeah, sure, I got time on my hands. We're looking for things to bring up on the show. Wonderful. So I click on it. And it's about the Blue Jays anthem, which I thought was...
Okay, Blue Jays, let's play ball.
Okay, Blue Jays, let's play ball. A song they play during the seventh inning stretch. But the one strange fact about Toronto, there's actually a different song for the Jays that was commissioned by the team for its first season back in 1977.
This is a cop thriller?
Right? At least they opened
Sounds
the Shaft.
Like a private detective show.
Shaft! He's the guy who gets the kill. Yeah, so this is, it's the late 70s, so it's got a very much a disco feel to it.
It's by Paul's people. That's what it's the description says.
Paul Hamilton's people, yes, yes, I remember
No,
that.
It's
maybe
no,
not Paul very good. Hamilton, but just Paul's people.
The song was written by a dentist who is in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Well, now he's a dentist in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Dr. Michael Lococo Sr., apparently, and was recorded with studio musicians. And Lococo was given tickets and a Blue Jays warm-up jacket for his efforts. Paul's people recording the Blue Jays song in 1977 and your disco version of... OK Blue Jays is a good song. It's a very good song. You stretch, you get to exercise, you'll shake the hips a little bit. I like OK Blue Jays. Would you like to know the strange fact for the Mets, by the way? I did not know this one. The Mets... among the things they were bad at in the early 1960s, in the beginning of the franchise, they couldn't steal bases. They finished second to last in the National League in stolen bases in 1964 with 36. So what did they do to help steal more bases? They brought in Olympian Jesse Owens to be their running coach the next season. Who knew? The guy won a whole bunch of gold medals. They stole fewer bases next year and were caught. They stole 28 instead of 36. They were caught 42 times. So Jesse served as a running coach for a very short one season, and the Mets got worse in stolen bases. That's my franchise there. Hey, let's bring in an Olympic coach. Didn't really work.
Two-minute warning.
Tonight, on your menu or included in your menu of old games that you might want to watch or who knows, you don't have to, NBCSN is continuing the show all this week. Sunday Night Football doubleheaders. And tonight, the theme is Peyton Manning as a Broncos quarterback.
Oh.
The first game will be I believe it is his first start for Denver in 2012 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's going to be at 7. And the second game will be his return to Indianapolis. The first time as a Bronco returning to play the Colts in 2013 in week 12. That's a doubleheader of football tonight on NBCSN.
I saw a thing from... Mike Clay. Well, we're doing Mike Clay today.
TSN?
No, who's Mike Kelly? The football guy again.
Mike Clay.
Okay.
The Ravens last year scored 58 offensive touchdowns.
Last minute of play
which
in the show.
Was seventh all time. And what he's basically trying to lay out was of all the teams that have ever scored 50 touchdowns in a season, how many scored 50 the next season? Not 50. But if you scored 50 or more.
Yep.
The following year, did you score more touchdowns or fewer touchdowns? And the numbers are extreme. There are 34 teams that scored 50 touchdowns or more since 2007.
Right.
Of the 34 to score 50 touchdowns in a season, 30 scored fewer the next year.
It's hard.
Basically, like regression.
Right.
You had a great year. Right. You could still be great. I mean, one of Peyton Manning's Denver teams scored 71 touchdowns.
Wow. Man.
And then the next year they scored 55. Again, 55
That's
is still
really
a lot.
Good, right?
But that is a 16 touchdown drop.
Yeah.
The 2007 Patriots. Now, they had 67 and the next year had 25 fewer. that might have been the year that Brady gets hurt, right? It is. Yeah, because they went 16-0. They lose Brady. They go 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
Or they drop 25 touchdowns. For anyone that says, well, they won without Brady, well, consider where they were coming from, you know?
Yeah.
So just an interesting look at all these offenses. New England 2011 had 62 and dropped down. So, you know, the Ravens will probably come back to earth a little bit off of their 58 if they fall in line with the trends of the 34 teams to score 50-plus since 2007. There you go. There's my stat of the day for you. I brought in the stat late.
Thanks, Jeremy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.